quick here. If you want to be turning to First Peter this morning. Bless you. We have been looking the last couple of weeks at what Scripture has to say about Satan, about the devil, about the demons, Satan's minions, if you would. And I want us to take a little bit different turn this morning and start talking about maybe what we could call application, what we need to do about what we have looked at. Because Scripture has taught us for sure that Satan and his demons are real, and they are out there, and they're active and at work. The second chapter of 1 Peter, in verse 11, we read, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." So Peter's telling here that we need to abstain from, we need to stay away from these fleshly lusts, these sinful worldly desires, quite frankly, that Satan and his demons put into us, okay? That we need to stay away from them. And that these very things, it says, wage war against your very soul, and uses that word war specifically. You know, there's two things that have to occur for you to have a war. One thing, you need to pronounce an enemy. And the second one is you need to have something you're fighting over. So as we think about this war, who is our enemy? The devil, Satan, right? And what are we fighting over? Our souls, because that's what Satan wants, okay? And he's not going to be happy until he gets that, and he's not afraid to use anything to get it. So we have got to be on our P's and Q's, if you would. We have got to be vigilant about guarding against these things. Let's go back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2. And let's look at verse 2. Paul says there, says, "You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil." And then the New Living here says, "the commander of the powers in the unseen world." Now, your translation for this word commander may have the word ruler. If you look up the Greek word, by definition, it also means leader, so it means ruler and leader. I thought it was interesting that this word commander popped up like it did. But if you think about a ruler or a leader of a country, especially the way they ruled back in Bible times, they were commanders. They commanded people to do this and that and go do this and that, and the people were supposed to do it. And so we get this word commander, and I think it's an interesting use of that word. It's very similar in connotation or meaning to what Cornelius said to Jesus back in Matthew chapter 8. He says, "I have authority," he says, "over my soldiers, and they follow my commands." Okay, so we see Cornelius as a commander. We know he was a centurion. That means that he commanded 80 to 100 trained troops in the Roman army, but we see that Cornelius considered himself a commander. And I think the picture maybe that we're trying to get over here is Satan as a commander, that he's commanding his demons, his minions, if you would, to do what he tells them to do, and therefore he is a commander. It's interesting, it's a military term, because we're talking here about war. And so what we're really talking about here is spiritual warfare, if you would. And spiritual warfare is very, very real. We know that Paul had this in mind when he was writing the letter of Ephesians, because look how he ends that letter. Go over to chapter 6, and we're going to start reading in verse 10. A final word, he says. I think it's interesting that he puts that there, because, you know, when you have a chance to speak to somebody like Paul is speaking, you want to make your point that you really want to stick to people last, because that's the very last thing they're going to remember, okay? So Paul does that in the letter of Ephesians, and he says a final word. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, he says, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be present. Are persistent, I'm sorry, in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We know that spiritual warfare was on Paul's mind when he wrote Ephesians, and this is probably the most comprehensive passage in the entire Bible that has to do with spiritual warfare. We see in verses 10 through 12 that he really describes what this spiritual warfare is. He says in verse 12, therefore, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, he says, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Now, obviously, in war, as we think about it, we're fighting against other humans, okay? And so that's what we think of when we think about war. But Paul's letting us know, boy, we're fighting on one here that we can't see who we're fighting even. But we know that he's out there and he'll stop at nothing to get what he wants. So he says we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, we saw him use very similar descriptions to this when we started out in Colossians and looked at chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16, because Paul described there this unseen world and what it amounted to, and the wording was very, very similar to what we're talking about right here. So in these first three verses, 10 through 12, he really tries to give us some insight into what this spiritual warfare looks at. But then he wants to give us assurance, and that is that God knows that we're involved in this spiritual warfare. And he does not leave us on our own to try to fight this war, okay? And so Paul then goes on to describe these things that God has given us to help us to fight this war. I think it's interesting, in verse 11, he starts out and says, put on all of God's armor. And then in verse 13, as he describes God's armor, he repeats that again. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. So what is God trying to tell us there right off the bat? If you don't use every piece of this, you're not protected, okay? And he describes these things here. And you know, if you look at it, the human body, as he goes through these things, this protection is from head to toe, okay? Everything is protected. If you get a warranty on your vehicle, what do they tell you? What kind of coverage do they tell you you have? You have bumper to bumper, okay? Well, it's really limited, but they tell you you have bumper to bumper, okay? God's bumper to bumper is unlimited, all right? But if you're on your car, it's limited. But he has given us everything to protect us from head to toe. But if we don't use it, and if we don't use every piece of it, then there's part of us that's out there unprotected, if you would, and vulnerable. And with Satan, you don't want to be that way, okay? Because he knows those things about you. He knows a way to get to you. So this protection that God's given us, he tells us that it is truth, that it is righteousness, that is the gospel of peace, that it is faith, that it is salvation, that is the word of God, and it's everything that we need to prevail. Everything that we need to defeat our enemies. If we will be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, and if we will pray at all times. He reminds us of those things. I want us to spend a little bit of time talking about this protection that God's given us. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. This is Paul writing again, okay? And here he says, we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. Now, you see any common theme going through these things right here? Here is this thing about waging war again, all right? But Paul says we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Let's back up a couple of chapters to chapter 6. And look there at verse 7. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons, all right? Here we are talking about this war again, okay? We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and on the left hand for defense, okay? And once again, he's describing the protection that we have got, that God has given us. Let's go over into the book of James. Chapter 4 and verse 7, very familiar passage to us. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. So he starts off the very first thing, and he says, humble yourselves before God. What does it mean to humble ourselves in this particular situation? Be submissive. We have got to realize that we cannot do this on our own. And that's the humility that we need to have. You know, there's an old saying we used to say all the time, said, I can handle this job all by myself, you know. Not this one, you can't, okay? You can't. So in humbling ourselves, we've got to realize that we cannot do this on our own. We need to come close to God and submit to God. When it comes to this war, we have got to join a side. You know, Sweden has made a lifetime in trying to keep neutral, okay? Or Switzerland, I mean, I said Sweden, excuse me, Switzerland. We can't do that, all right? We have got to choose a side. Let's go back to that second letter of Corinthians in chapter 6. That first part of 6:15 in 2 Corinthians, it says, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? There is none, okay? There is no harmony between those two. Let's go back a book in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Starting in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 10, 19. What am I trying to say? Am I saying that food offered to idols has some significance, or that idols are real gods? No, not at all. I am saying that these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God, and I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What, he says, do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we are stronger than he is? We have got to make a choice, okay? We cannot have it both ways. We've got to choose who we're going to follow. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus says there that you cannot serve two masters, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. Peter says there, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Stay alert, be sober-minded, and stand firm. You know, we should not think that we would be void from going through the spiritual warfare when we see that our Savior Christ Jesus was not either. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 4. Again, something we are all very, very familiar with, but this is, of course, when Christ was tempted. He had just been baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And then it says, then Jesus, starting in chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil, by Diablos. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time when the devil came to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up on their hands, with their hands, so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." You know, we talk a lot about how Jesus answers everything the devil threw at him with Scripture. But rarely do we mention what just happened right here. Because what did Satan do right there? Okay, if you're going to come back at me with what I said with Scripture, then I'm going to turn around and do the same thing to you. And what does that show? But Satan knows Scripture, okay? Sadly, he knows it probably better than we do, all right? And so he is ready for any kind of attack. And he shows us right there as he quoted a passage out of Deuteronomy. Jesus replied, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." So kind of a checkmate thing right there. And then it goes on, "Next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I will give it all to you,' he said, 'if you will kneel down and worship me.'" He says in verse 10, Jesus says, "Get out of here, Satan, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." I think Jesus makes a very important statement, and one that we probably need to make a whole lot, and that is, get out of here, Satan. Get out of my head, get out of my mind, get out of my heart, okay? Just get out of here. And we can holler at him to do that, okay? And God will help us with that. Well, we know three times Jesus is tempted, and three times he comes back, each one of those with "it is written," and quotes Scripture. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is the most powerful weapon that we have against the temptations of the devil. Psalms 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And we need to fill ourselves with the Word of God. I want to look back at Luke chapter 4. It too is the ending of what we had just read, and that is the temptation of Jesus. But Luke adds a phrase in here that I think we need to be aware of. "When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came." The devil never considers himself defeated, okay? He is going to come back at us again and again and again, and it's why we have always got to be ready and why we always have to stand firm. Let's look in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 37. Paul says there, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. God intends us to be victorious." And he tells us that we are victorious through Christ Jesus. Let's look at some keys to victory real quick. He tells us to rely on God's power, to have humility so that we are not trying to do this on our own. Philippians 4 and 13, of course, says, "I can do all things, but only through Christ who strengthens me." Okay? He tells us to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, and that we need to draw on the power of Scripture. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us that the Word is the spiritual sword, okay? And that is part of our protection. Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 that we need to pray without ceasing. Never, never stop praying. James 4, verse 7 and 8 tells us that we need to stand firm and submit to God, okay, as we resist the devil. And then something that we can take great faith in, and let's look in Psalms for just a moment. Psalm 62, Psalm 62 and verse 2. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, while I will never be shaken. And also while we're in Psalms 91, beginning in verse 14. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. You see all those words there that give us great hope. Protect, rock, rescue, reward, honor. We need to realize that God is with us in this thing. One more I want us to look at this morning, and we are about out of time. 1 John chapter 5. Start in verse 4, 1 John 5, verse 4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle over the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we are in this spiritual warfare, and we're going to be in it until Christ comes again. So we need to be ready. We are protected. God's given us the protection that we need, but we need to use it, okay? We need to use that protection. We need to use all of it, and we need to be prepared at any time for what Satan is going to throw upon us. God's used his word to say, don't be surprised at anything that Satan throws at you, because he will stop at nothing to try to get your soul. But once again, God tells us, but I have given you everything that you need to protect you, and you will win this battle if you stay faithful to Christ.
I will.
And we have to keep choosing that, because
yeah.
We talk about relentless. That's that's why he repeats things to us like that. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, and he doesn't break a promise.
No, he does not break a promise. And just having the armor of God and having it sitting by your bed does not protect you one bit, all right? You got to put it on, and you got to use it. That's the same thing with my treadmill. Just because I own it, it has not hadn't done me a bit of good. One of these days, I need to plug it in and see what that thing actually does. Bow with me, if you would. We'll be done for this morning. Father God, we know that we are in a spiritual battle, that we are engaged in spiritual warfare, Father, each and every day. We know that our enemy is Satan, the devil. And we know what he's fighting for, Father, that he wants our souls. Oh, but Father, what great confidence that we have in knowing that you have given us everything that we need to be victorious, that you have given us all the protection that we need to withstand whatever it is that Satan throws at us. Father, just strengthen our faith, strengthen our dependence in you. Let us spend quality daily time in your word, the sword of the Spirit. Father, thank you for loving us that much. We pray in the name of Christ our Redeemer. Amen.